We are recording.
We are.
Yeah. This is the first episode of whatever this is. We're reading the Tao Te Ching by Lao Tzu. So what do you think about this? This is the first verse or chapter, whatever you would consider it. The way that can be told is not the eternal way. The word that can be spoken is not the eternal word. Unnamed, it is the source of heaven and earth. Named, it is the mother of all things. He who is ever without desires sees its spiritual essence. He who is ever under desire sees only its limits. These two, differing in name, are the same in origin. They are the mystery of mysteries. This is the door of spiritual life. What do you think about that?
Well, part of it I don't understand. But the Bible says Jesus became flesh and dwelt among us. Okay. But now he becomes spirit. When we speak his name and speak his word, it's spirit because he's not here in the flesh.
So at all times, Jesus becomes spirit?
Right.
But
that's what I think.
Do you think that's different from what this was saying? In a way?
In a way.
The way that can be told is not the eternal way. So it's like you never grasp it because you're giving word to it, and that's not enough to grasp it and explain what it is.
I think we can grasp it. I think we can.
As humans, we
yes.
can grasp it?
Yes. I think so.
There's some commentary in here. It says, the eternal way, Tao, is the Logos, and was so rendered by the first translators of this text. In the older, Shu King is the sentence. Let us learn all things in harmony with the mind of God. The Logos being the mind of God, as well as the Word of God. The Logos has two aspects, unnamed and named. The unmanifest and the manifested Logos. From the manifested Logos comes the visible universe, the unity of heaven and earth. Heaven means here the immortal sea of spiritual consciousness. Earth is the realm of manifested nature. So, what do you think so far? That's the first verse of the Tao Te Ching.
Okay. Is there anything in there about this earth going to have to be purged out and cleansed? Because the Bible plainly says that there's going to be people living on earth. It says it's going to be all burned up and destroyed, but there will be a new heaven and a new earth. So that means this earth is going to get purged out.
A new heaven and a new earth for living beings in the flesh or for the spiritual?
I don't know.
Is it the hereafter?
I'll have to look at that.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not too familiar with this. There might be something in here. We'll go to verse 2.
Okay.
When all men have learned the beauty of righteousness, the ugliness of sin is understood. When all men recognize goodness, then evil is understood. In the same way, the manifest and the unmanifest define each other. Difficult and easy define each other. Long and short reveal each other. Height and depth manifest each other. Musical notes and the tones of the voice determine each other. Former and latter define each other. Therefore, the master works without working. He teaches in silence. But if he teaches in silence, how would we have ever read this? Because Lao Tzu had to speak this or write it, right?
Right. But maybe it's because people say your kids learn so much more from what they see you do than what they hear you tell them to do.
Yeah, that's right. Actions speak louder than words.
So
right?
Could that kind of mean that?
Yeah, maybe? I think that is what it means. But it's talking about the two differences, the two polarities accentuate each other, like the unmanifest and the manifest. The short and the long reveal each other. It says height and depth manifest each other. So you need both. It's like, therefore the master works without working. So I don't know.
His life tells his story?
Yeah. I guess so. Oh, there was another part. That verse wasn't over yet.
Okay.
I just flipped the page. Then all things come into being, and he gives them fruition. He brings them into being, yet seeks not to possess them. He perfects them, yet seeks no reward. When his work is accomplished, he remains detached from it. He seeks no glory and is therefore glorious. So that's like what we just watched, the extravagant Dee Dee Allen, the actress, mm-hmm. the Broadway star.
Exactly.
It was all about her. She reveled in her fame and in her glitz and glamour. And therefore she was, the critics didn't like her because they saw her narcissism through that. Instead of just her shining, being glitz and glamour with and being unattached from that and just doing the work of that. And like it said, seeking no glory and therefore being glorious.
But she only, that's what she wanted was glory.
Yeah. And she wanted the glory.
Yeah.
The commentary on here says, Lao Tzu is seeking to make clear the relation of the unmanifested and the manifested, logos, to each other, as poles of the same being. Spirit and matter are neither separated nor antagonistic. They are two aspects of the one. While the one is undivided, it remains unrevealed. Only in differentiation, by polarization into spirit and matter, are the supplementary natures of spirit and matter made apparent.
I don't even understand what you're saying there.
Well, you only know a thing, you only know something by its polar opposite. Like you only, it becomes manifest by the two differences, you know, the differentiation.
Like light and dark?
Yeah. So if it's like we're talking about glory, not seeking the glory, you become glorious. But if you're seeking the, that's just one side of it. You're seeking the glory and that's all that you care about. And therefore it's, you're probably not going to attain the glory, right? But just by being glorious and not caring, not seeking that, then you attain it. So the two, the polarities, the differentiation. So there's, those are two verses from the, from this thing. The third verse goes like this. The seclusion of the masters keeps the world from strife. A low esteem of wealth keeps the world from covetousness. When objects of desire are hidden, men's hearts are undisturbed. Therefore, where the master rules, he empties the heart of desires. He fills the inner nature. He strengthens its bones. He constantly stills the mind and abates desires. Those who have knowledge, he restrains from bondage to action. He himself stands free from bondage to action. Therefore, all whom he rules abide in quietude. This is a where it comes to where I have a problem with it, where I start to get paranoid and think whoever wrote this wanted to teach this to the masses so that they wouldn't strive for desires and be a competition to whoever was trying to rule, right? So they give you this lofty idea of, oh, A low esteem of wealth keeps the world from covetousness. You know, just when you're not rich, you know, you don't have any worries. Nobody's going to be mad at you for being rich. So you'll have peace.
But look how rich a lady was in the movie a while ago, and she still was after
Yeah.
more.
Yep. So there's a truth to this, but I do the paranoia does kick in though when I read this. Because just talking about inaction, not taking action or not desiring something or not going after something, it just seems like it wouldn't be a good thing, because then you're just going to be idle. You know, you're not going to do anything. And you're going to kind of just waste away, you know, waste your life. I don't know. I don't know. I think there's good in this, but there's also the temptation to. This would enforce laziness in a way, you know, like if you have a natural inclination to laziness, this you could justify it with something like this, you
Or
know.
you point your finger at me.
No. No.
But what about that scripture in the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And, you know, don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge God, and He'll direct your path. But anyway, the part I was getting to is it'll be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. And by flesh, it means physical flesh, and bones, it means your bones in your body. So when your bones are hurting,
Yeah. So if you have to put your desires towards the right thing, and then God will direct your path, or
right
the way will be made
for you.
for you, the Tao, which is the way of
The
righteousness.
Tao means way.
I think so.
Okay.
I might have to look it up, but I think, well, the whole thing is, the subtitle is the Book of the Way and of Righteousness.
You know what? I catch myself doing this again. Everything I read, I've just did this so much that I see scripture in it.
Oh, in the other things that you read, you see the scripture in those?
And it's plain, you know, I can see it in
Yeah.
that. Remember that, we don't need this on tape, but you know that story you wrote? And I can't think right now what the lady's name was, but they were going up this mountain. You know, she could fly off, and they could do all kinds of stuff. But that was a very spiritual story to me when you wrote that. Because what you saw as that opening into, I don't know what place they were going. I don't even remember the names of any of it now. Because it's been a couple of years. No, it's been 4 years since you wrote that. But anyway, I saw all kinds of spiritual, you know, inclinations toward God. I thought they were entering into a new spiritual realm instead of just a literal, another physical place.
What if this is a spiritual realm? Like this, we always think that there's something else beyond the flesh and blood, and we call this the material realm in the world of the flesh, right? And all the holy books and the old ancient texts and scriptures refer to that too, the differentiation of the spirit and the flesh, you know. But what if this is a reality to a, what if this is a higher reality that we're living right now, and there is a base reality beneath this, you know, and maybe there's just different levels to each spiritual realm is a physical place. We're living through one of them right now, one sphere of the Sephirah tree or something, you know, like we're talking about the Kabbalah. Like one sphere of it. I don't know.
book, the Bible says what's seen, what we can see, like we can touch and feel, is a temporal thing. It means it don't last. It goes away. And what we can't see, but what we see by faith, is spiritual. And that's what's going to last forever.
Mm-hmm. The like, eternal, the energy, the...
Mm-hmm.
The energy that was never created nor can ever be destroyed.
Right.
That always
the
was.
Real you.
Yeah. I like that.
Nobody can touch that part of you.
Yeah. It's always there and it's undisturbed, that part of it. That part is the place above the storm. You know, like the... Yet you... You're at the bottom looking up at the storm and the clouds and the lightning and thunder. And then you ascend through that and it's just calm.
I never thought of it like that. That's awesome.
It's calm and it's tranquil, and that's the spirit. You know, that's the place of peace. And the place where your true essence exists, your spirit or your whatever.
Now that's what you call your real happy place. When people says my happy place is the beach, or my happy place is a mountain, now that's a happy place.
Yeah. And I guess you could access that, right, if you visualize it. You could sit and breathe and visualize that. And another one I heard about before was like the waves of the ocean, the stormy waves that are crashing and sinking ships and everything. And you go down deep enough to the bottom of the ocean and it's just calm. You just have water that's still. You have still water below the stormy waves.
Even so while the waves are beating, you mean down far underneath?
Yeah, at the very bottom it's calm and
whoa,
and serene, and maybe there's fish floating by or something. They don't know about the storm that's above them. It doesn't affect them because they've gone deep enough below it.
I didn't know that about the ocean. I didn't.